Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the second Sunday of Lent, and the readings are from Cycle A.
God and so many of us have a soft spot for mountains. After all, mountains are characterized by encounter between God and ourselves, between earth and the heavenly sky. And mountains are monuments to the beauty of God's creation. The Himalayas, the Santa Cruz Mountains, even the hills around the Dish are archetypal symbols in religion, culture, the arts, and sports. In fact, the architect Frederick Law Olmsted wanted to put the center of the Stanford campus up in the hills where the Dish now is placed, rather than down here in the valley. And for you bicyclists, it's a darn good thing that he was overruled. A number of years ago, I had my own transformative mountaintop experience when I had the good fortune to participate in a month-long outward bound expedition to the Three Sisters Wilderness in western Oregon. Over the course of 4 weeks, my 12 companions and I traversed hundreds of miles of mountainous terrain, all the while carrying our food, equipment, and provisions in our 65-pound backpacks. While nursing blisters and subsisting on trail mix and sardines, we learned map-making and orienteering. We rappelled down steep cliffs. We climbed rock walls and snowfields. One time, I was tasked with leading a group from point A to point B 10 miles away at night. The high point of the journey was the challenge of surviving alone for 4 days with barely enough food, a tarp, and a bedroll. It was an intense experience, but very, very profound. So returning to Eugene, Oregon after the 30th day, I was a transformed young man. 15 pounds lighter, I was brimming with confidence in my newfound outdoor skills. I felt very much at peace with the world. In a word, I was enlightened. And what did this enlightened being do upon returning to civilization? I looked for the closest Italian restaurant and consumed copious amounts of pizza and beer. And then, since nothing succeeds like excess, I topped it off with a visit to the local ice cream parlor. Because that's what you do when you're enlightened, I think. Well, you don't have to be a Stanford human biology major to realize that things went quickly downhill from there. You could say that my enlightenment was short-lived, but in many other ways, the transformations from that intense month have stayed with me over the 3 decades since. Today's gospel might be called Three Friends Go Up the Mountain and Come Back Down the Mountain in a Relationship with the Messiah. What Matthew describes today as the vision of Jesus' transformation is told each year the second Sunday in Lent in various ways and in different images by the other evangelists. But this suggests that there are some important lessons to take from this story. Along with the readings from Genesis, the Psalms, and Paul's letter to his disciple Timothy, we have, in a sense, an arrow that shot from the beginning of salvation history that goes past the patriarchs and the prophets, that's fulfilled in the scriptures in Jesus, and that arrow lands here, right here with us this afternoon. What's going on in these stories? What revelations do they have for us today? and during the season of Lent. The passage from Genesis starts with what seems to be the call of one individual, Abram, who's not yet called Abraham. But the call isn't simply that of an individual, because Abraham is being called to be the father of three great religious traditions. We Catholics refer to him as our father in faith, but remember, the Jewish people revere him, and so do the Muslims. We have a common, revered ancestor. At that moment in salvation, God is calling all nations, all of us, the whole of humanity to himself. Abraham's children will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. It's a process which hasn't ceased for a moment across the ages and down to this very day. Our God is saying, I want to be with you. Abram is called to leave everything that's precious to him, his family and his land. He has to break from the past. And if we're going to put our trust in the Lord, we have to give up on our reliance in things that are comfortable to us, things that we used to rely on. It'll involve separation, because the journey and union with the transcendent God is not going to be a picnic. We're promised infinite blessings, but for now they exist in the difficult guise of a promise. St. Paul understood this well. In his second letter, he tells Timothy, it's all part of a great design, a plan sweeping across the whole span of human history from before time began. In the gospel readings of recent weeks, we see Jesus at the beginning of his mission, and the first thing he does is gets in line with sinners, allowing himself to be baptized by John. Jesus is identifying himself radically with you and me. And the Father tells us, this is the one in whom I am well pleased. And as you recall from last week's gospel, Jesus is immediately led off by the Spirit into the desert to wrestle with the meaning of his vocation. He's confronted with several very seductive ideas of what it might mean to be the Messiah. But Jesus relies on his Father's word, and he rejects those temptations. And then in today's gospel, we reach a new high point. In the passage just before the one we heard, Jesus informs his disciples that he realizes he must suffer and die at the hands of the people's religious leaders. He'll rise, but what does that mean? And now on the mountain, there's this new epiphany, what we call Jesus's transfiguration. It's a new manifestation of the Father's pleasure at the direction of things unfolding, of where it's all heading. And look at who appears to talk with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Yes, they represent the law and the prophets, but more importantly, they're great prophets who suffered at the hands of their own people. Elijah was hounded by the people, so much so that he became weary, and he asked God to let him abandon this project. It was just too tough. No mas. And we know how Moses had to struggle again and again with that stiff-necked people. At the end, he wasn't even allowed to enter the promised land. Though it was in his sight, he was a failure. Although we don't know what the three men were talking about up on the mountain, maybe Jesus was asking Moses and Elijah, what about the cost of this all? And it's at this moment that the Father says, once more, this is the one in whom I am well pleased. Jesus has now begun to appreciate the full consequences of his call, what it'll cost, and he's saying, yes. He's recommitting himself with his eyes wide open. And this is what Lent calls us to. The conversion we're being called once more to make is not naive. It's not romantic. It's not self-diminishment either, though. We might be guided by the words that are repeated in today's responsorial psalm, mercy. We're to imitate God's mercy, toward ourselves, toward each other, toward creation, and even to show mercy toward our adversaries. In these early days of the season of Lent, we need to ask God to take us up onto the mountain with Jesus, to let us see the Son as Peter and James and John saw him, so that we can enter into the challenge with hope and conviction that God will transform us again and again. But that transition will cost us what it cost Abraham. We'll have to leave the familiarity of our life as usual, our settled home, the comfortable patterns we've established for ourselves. If we take that risk, however, the reward is great. It's communion with God. For like the disciples, when we raise our eyes, we will see no one else but Jesus himself.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.